Colossians chapter 1. Praise God. Thank you, Father. Father, that is our prayer, that we be found faithful, that we be found steady in you. Lord, that our lives would reflect always the truth that's in you. Father, I pray today that as we study this lesson, as we have a time of considering the Word of God, of meditating upon it, Lord, that you will quicken each one of us today to an understanding that's far deeper than we've had before. I pray, Father, that you'll cause each one of us not to sell short the promises of God. Lord, help us not to just be religious folk that sit around and do the same thing day after day after day and don't see anything different, but help us to be those that are pressing in always, going deeper, coming closer, growing and understanding and growing in our fruitfulness, so that everything that is said or done might bring glory and honor and praise to the name of Yeshua. Help us, Father, not to just take an easy route in this life. But Lord, show us the route of challenge. Show us the route that will cause us to grow. Lord, we recognize that when there are trials in our life, they're not sent from you, but every trial has an opportunity to cause us to realize our potential. And so we want to move to the potential that each one of us has. Don't let us be those that stand before you in the last day and are found wanting. Help us to order our lives in such a way that we might please you. Send, Lord, into each one of us today a desire that the Word of God might dwell in us with more than just a head knowledge, but that we might come to the knowledge of the truth. And we praise you for it in the name of Yeshua. Amen. Praise God. Well, we're talking about delightful prayer. And actually, we've moved out of the delightful series, but I'm going to continue to use delightful prayer because prayer is delightful. God said, I'll meet with you there. I'll meet with you beneath the wings of the cherubim in Exodus 25:22. I'll meet with you there and we will have fellowship or communion, or we'll talk together. We'll have conversation. And this is the thing that we're wanting to get out of this. As we've moved on in our study, we've discovered that there are prayers throughout the epistles. If you read the epistles, not every epistle has it, but many of the epistles have prayers written right in them. And those are prayers given by the Holy Spirit. When you see a prayer that's in Scripture, now think about this for a moment, because sometimes I think people think, well, if a guy's just talking in conversation, that isn't necessarily anointed. But a prayer that God puts in where somebody says, I pray that. What do we know about Scripture? What is the Timothy definition about all Scripture? All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's God-breathed. Is the prayer that we find in the Scripture in the Scripture? Yes. So these are Holy Ghost prayers, or if you prefer, Holy Spirit prayers. The prayers of the Ruach HaKodesh. They're prayers given through people. And this is what I was talking about this morning. What a wonderful privilege and blessing and gift it is that you, when you begin to pray over someone, it's not just your mind. You should never just stop and say, well, I've only got to, see, I'll just pray what I can think here. No, that's not what we're wanting to pray. We're not wanting to pray what we can think. We're wanting to pray what He thinks, what He says. And you just have to kind of get out of the way. Some people have a hard time with speaking in tongues because you have to get your mind out of the way. Your mind needs to get out of the way. I'll never forget the night that I first spoke in other tongues. I don't know if you've noticed it or not, but God has a way of giving preachers a gift. And what is that gift? The gift of gab. We're usually not short on words. Most preachers have a lot of words. We talk a lot. It's one of the natural gifts that God gave us that He can take and use. He gives all kinds of gifts. People have them, and those gifts operate in the natural, and they operate in the supernatural too. But because I always had the gift of gab, and because praying to me was an easy thing, you know, I just start praying and pray and pray and pray. And I did this from the, you know, when I never had a hard time learning to pray around other people. I suppose there was a time, but I don't remember it, you know, where I could just, you know, begin to pray and words would begin to flow. But when it came to speaking in other tongues, you know, instead of what we normally find when we minister with people to see them filled with the Holy Spirit and speak in other tongues, is that we have to tell them to speak up. I didn't need that. I need to shut up. Some of you may need to shut up, but most of you need to speak up. Because you'll see people, you know, they'll be talking and they'll pray in English and they'll pray along, and then when they get ready to allow the Lord to speak through them in other tongues, they shut up. Well, that didn't work for most people. It did for me. Because I had to shut up from what my mind was doing and let the Holy Spirit take over. Well, actually, it's that way when we pray in the natural, too. It should be just the same. In fact, it's even a step further in faith than just speaking in tongues. Because in tongues, you don't know what you're saying. But in prophecy, and what is prophecy? Anybody know what prophecy is? It's got a real religious sound, but prophecy means to speak forth, to tell forth. And when you pray, I believe you should often be prophesying. Probably most of your prayer should be prophecy. It comes out. You witnessed it this morning with Jonathan as he stops and begins to just let the Holy Spirit use him. And he prays out things in the natural, but they are spiritual things. Well, this is what's going on in Scripture. I'm saying all of that just so you understand that God does things, yes, He does things mysteriously, but this particular part's not a great mystery. It's just the way He works. He wants to work in us. He lives in us. Say, He lives in me. Do you really believe that? Are you conscious of it? You see, this is an important thing that most of us don't do. We don't keep ourselves conscious of the fact that the living God is here inside of us. He lives in you. Jesus said, He's with you and shall be in you. He's in me. He's in me now. And so when we look at these prayers, we need to realize that this was a man of God. In this particular case, the apostle Shaul, the emissary of God, Paul, who spoke a letter to the Colossian people, the people in Colossae. And I believe he spoke this. I believe he dictated this letter. Most of his letters he didn't write. He spoke them, dictated them, and somebody else put them on paper for him. So when he's talking, he's actually praying over them. And I pray this and I pray that, he says. And so as we read in Colossians, I want you to understand this is not just a matter, as some people have said about John, 3 John 2, where it says, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health as your soul prospers. That's not just a greeting. It's not just a nice way of greeting. He's saying, in fact, the word wish has a much stronger meaning than what English puts on it. When you wish upon a star or something like that, or I sure wish it wouldn't rain today. But in Scripture, when you see that word wish, it's got some great power to it. It's my desire that you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. So now as we read this, we're reading Paul talking to the Colossian people, and he's been talking to a fellow among the Colossians who either lives with them or has visited them and has come back, and his name is Epaphras. And you'd get this by looking back further in the first chapter, but we're going to start in the 8th verse of Colossians chapter 1. And Epaphras has come and told Paul some things about the Colossian people. He's speaking to them and he says that Epaphras told me some things about you, and he also, verse 8, who also declared unto us your love in the Spirit. What's the difference between your love and your love in the Spirit? Is there a difference there? Your love in the Spirit. I think he's talking about the fact that this is a Christian love, the love that comes from loving God and having God love through you, your love in the Spirit. Now, there may be something deeper, but that's what I get about it. But then he goes on and he says, for this cause, since the day we heard of it, and that would be of your love in the Spirit, the first time we heard, since we heard about your love in the Spirit, we do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding. That you might be filled with the knowledge of His will and all wisdom and in spiritual understanding. Now I'm going to read the whole prayer and then we're going to go back and talk about it a little bit. But he says that you might walk worthy of the Lord, or that you might order your behavior worthily in a manner fitting a walk with the Lord, unto all pleasing, with a view to pleasing Him in everything, is another way of putting that. Being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to His glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering and joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance in the saints in light. I'd like you to be honest with me when you read through these epistles. How many of you sometimes read through those salutations very quickly? The things that are said at the beginning of a chapter. You know, sometimes I think we think that Scripture starts, you know, this is kind of an introduction and we don't need to read this, but this is very, very important, what he's saying here. The first thing he tells him is that I want you to be filled with the knowledge of His will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding. If you were here 3 or 4 weeks ago, you heard us do the message on revelation knowledge. There is a knowledge that's revealed, right? Well, he's relating back to this. Whether he's doing it for them or not, I don't know. We do know that these epistles were passed around from church to church. He told them to. You know, you read the one I sent to them, and they'll read the one that I sent to you. So read these. And this is about revelation knowledge, about knowledge that's deeper, about knowledge that's revealed to us. And how many thinking here today would say that there's certain areas in my walk that I thought I knew about, and then all of a sudden one day the Lord turned the light on and I realized there was a lot more to it than what I'd ever known before. That's revelation knowledge when he begins to speak to you about it. I believed in healing for a long, 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 long time. I've been healed. But you know what? There are things that I have learned about healing after being healed that's much deeper revelation than I had when I got healed. How about you? Do you know that? Bob would, I think, definitely say that. Bob was healed of terminal cancer, 3 years ago now? How many? 5 years? Wow! 5 years ago, healed of terminal cancer. But you know, he knows more about healing today than he did when he was healed. And he knew at the time that he was healed. He just knew it. He spoke it. When I got healed, it was totally a gift. God just healed me. It was just a gift. See, there's gifts of healing, and then there's healings by faith. They're all gifts, I agree, but there are certain things that are different. The gifts of healings is a different thing, and they come by laying on of hands, they come by anointing with oil, they come at different times in different ways, and the gifts of healings actually can come upon someone who doesn't particularly have a great amount of faith or understanding in it at all. But then there is a method of being healed that comes from knowing what the Word says. And just walking in it. Just walking in it. I heard a guy this morning, a pastor, that they had told him he had to have a heart transplant. You've got to have a heart transplant. They put him on the list. And he just kept believing. He kept getting worse and worse and worse until they finally said, you know, there's nothing we can do for you. And they kept telling everybody around him, he just doesn't understand where he is. But you know what? He just said, I'll be like Hezekiah, I'll turn my face to the wall and I'll get my healing. I'll get it. I know how to do it. And he went to the doctor here a few weeks ago. Well, it was in May, I think he said he went to the doctor, or June, something like that. And the doctor asked him how he'd been feeling. He said, well, I did have a little pain down my left arm the other day. And he said, there was kind of a pain that came in around here. And the doctor said, oh, really? He said, yeah, I should tell you, though, that I was skiing at 12,000 feet when that happened. And if any of you know anything about skiing, well, you know that that's normal to have pains, right? In fact, you find muscles you didn't know you had when you're skiing. I had a guy that had skied a long time, went snowboarding, and he said, boy, that was an altogether new pain level, yeah. So here we find out that God wants us to have revelation knowledge of things, that He wants us to grow. Now, when we say something like, to be filled with the knowledge of His will in verse 9, filled with the knowledge of His will. When somebody prays, you know, how do you think that? You know, Paul's praying for us now. How many of you believe he's praying for us too right here? He's praying for all that shall believe. And he's praying that we'd be filled with the knowledge of His will. What do you see? What kind of action's taking place? How could this occur that I'd be filled with the knowledge of God's will? Well, God could install a funnel, right? And just pour it in, right? That'd be a good way to do it, wouldn't it? But we all know that isn't God's way of doing things. Let's take it to a real simple area. If you wanted to fill your glass with water, what do you need to do? Huh?
Pour it.
You've got to do something, don't you? To be filled. And Paul's understanding this about us. I would say you'd need to have some kind of a container and you'd present it. Say present.
Present.
You need to present the container. What is the container that's about to be filled with the knowledge of His will? Present. Present your body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Yes, present. Present yourself. If you want to be filled with the knowledge of His will. How do you do that? Well, you tell the Lord, I'm presenting myself, right? I'm presenting myself. Now, there's another thing, though. You know, sometimes people present, and then they forget that when you finally get ready, you know, if I'm presenting myself, or my glass over here, and the faucet's over here, what do I need to do then? I need to position. How many of you know there's a position for receiving from God? And I'm not talking about physical positioning. We used to kid about it. We'd say, you know, if you get up closer in the church, you get up under the spout where the glory comes out, right? But you know, that's not really true. There's a position that we get ourselves into. We position our glass underneath where the knowledge comes from, right? We position our glass where the water is. We position ourselves in such a way that we can receive. Well, where is the position where you can receive from God? In His Word. Say Word. The Word, the Torah. We talk about Torah around here a lot. Torah is not law. Let me just tell you that. It contains some law. But the Torah is the instruction of God. And we understand that everything that was necessary for our salvation, everything that was necessary to make us born again, all of the blood sacrifice was taken care of in Yeshua. Amen. But is that all that the instruction in the Word of God is about?
No.
No. There's a lot of other instructions, aren't there? You know, there's instructions about not moving your neighbor's property marker. Did you know that? Did you know there are instructions about how you treat widows and orphans? Did you know that there are instructions about the way you look at a woman? There's instruction. There's a lot of instruction about hypocrisy, isn't there? About acting one way and doing another, or thinking another. See, the instructions are valid. And what does he say? He says, I want you first of all to be filled with the knowledge of His will. So we've got to, somebody said it's the Word. If you want to get, what's the picture that has the thing that we want in it? This is our container, isn't it? The Word. God's Word. God's Word. I want you to know that the Word works. Amen? The Word is a working book. It works. It's full of energy. Scripture says in Hebrews 4:12 that the Scripture, the Word of God, is alive. Yeshua said that in John 6:63. He said, "The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they're life." So there's life in here. So what do we know about it? That there's Word here that's written on a page, but it goes deeper, doesn't it? Because this Word all by itself kills. The letter kills, but the Spirit gives it life. And so we take this Word, recognizing that there's words of life here, and then we rely upon the author to interpret it to us, don't we? That's being filled with the knowledge of His will. In Joshua 1:8, the Scripture says, "This book of the law," or if you read it in Hebrew, it would be the book of Torah, "shall not depart out of your mouth." Well, now what has to happen for this book to not depart out of my mouth? What?
It's got to be in my mind.
It actually has to go deeper than that to be appropriate. It can just get in the mind. And this is what happens to us sometimes. Sometimes we just get it in the mind. It has to get down from the mind to the heart. To the heart of you. Spirit, soul, and body. Where does the heart come in?
All of it.
What?
All of it.
Well, it kind of is. I believe it's the center of the immaterial part of us.
I think it's the soaking part. I think it's a part that we soak all
over. Right. I call it the exchange center. The exchanging center. Now, many great preachers and teachers, some of them far, far superior to me in many ways, have said that the heart is your spirit. I don't believe it's just your spirit. I believe it is an exchanging center between your mind and your spirit. It is the soaking area. And the reason I don't believe that is because the Scripture says, "Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh." Well, I know my spirit's born again, filled with Jesus Christ. Do you know that? We've all said we know that. We're aware. And we're trying to make ourselves more conscious of the fact that He's in us. So He's inside of us. So we know that. But I have to be very honest with you. Sometimes my mouth says things it shouldn't say. How about yours? So the abundance of my heart is sometimes wrong, even though I know that my spirit's born again. Hallelujah. Right? So we've got the heart. We've got to get the Word of God from the page to the heart. Now, it goes through the gate of the mind. Has to get in through the mind, through the ears. I recommend it go through your eyes and your ears at the same time. That's my recommendation. Don't be reading like your school teacher told you to. Your school teacher says read silently. Read like it is in what they used to tell me. That's the way it was in Chinese classrooms and Japanese classrooms. Everybody reads out loud. Why? You need input from both areas. So read it and hear it. "This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth." So I'm getting it in. And once I've got it in, what do I do? What do I do with it? What's the next thing? "But thou shalt meditate." Could I see every one of you do some meditating here? Stop and meditate for a moment. I'm waiting. I'm waiting. I haven't seen any meditating yet. See, people think meditating is this. Or this. That's not meditating. What does meditating look like? What? That's right, muttering. If I was going to meditate what we just said, I'd say, "This book of the law shall not depart out of my mouth, but I meditate on it day and night." I'm muttering. That's when I can see you meditate. It's when I can see your mouth moving. I don't have to hear you, but I have to know you're muttering. You know how cows get the most out of their food?
Chewing cud.
Believe it or not, this word in the Hebrew has a relationship to the chewing of the cud. Muttering. You get it into your heart, and you begin to bring it back up and talk about it. Talk about it. Talk about the word. What did the Bible say in Shema about that? Now, we don't say this part of Shema, but what does the Bible say in the Shema about the word of God? Teach it diligently to your children. Go ahead. And you shall talk about it when you... That's right. When you go out, when you come in, when you lie down, when you rise up. What is the maybe one of the most devious devices of the enemy is the one that religion is a personal thing. Keep it to yourself. Keep it quiet. We'll be the society of the silent prayers. We'll all sit around and look religious. No. Talk about it. Meditate. Mutter. Bring it back up. Chew it again. How many of you have done that a few times on something and you just all of a sudden you say, wow, I never saw that before. I never even knew that was in there. Well, that's the way revelation comes, you see. If you want to get filled with the knowledge of His will, you have to present yourself. You have to position yourself. And then you have to get it from the source, don't you? Get it down inside of you, deep. Said you shall meditate therein when you feel like it. When you go out, when you come in, when you lie down, when you rise up. When you go out, when you come in, when you lie down, when you rise up. When you go out, when you come in, when you lie down, when you rise up. Teach it to your children. Talk to your children about it. Tell them about it. Tell them about it all the time. Talk to them. I told my little granddaughter yesterday, I said, do you really want to please God? You want to please God, don't you? Yeah, I do. I want to please God. I said, then be nice to your mommy. That pleases God. How many of you know that's part of Torah? And not only is it part of Torah to do that, but it also says you'll make your days long on the earth. You want to increase life? Honor. It's not loving to let people get away with things. If it's your child especially, it's not a loving thing to let them get away with things. I know a lot of times we think, well, I'm loving them because, you know, after all, they're just children. Now, I'm not talking about beating them. You understand this. But don't let them get away with it. Don't let them get away with it. And you know, when I've told my children this, Aaron will tell you I've told him, and he found it to be true too, that people in the world can get away with all kinds of stuff. Have you noticed that? They get away with things all the time, but Christian people, if they slip off just a little bit, it's in the newspaper. Right? And we say, oh, that's double standard. No, that's a loving father. Your father won't let you get away with things. Everybody raise your hand right now. Put your hand in the air. Everybody put a hand up. Say, Father, don't let me get away with anything. Woo! Glory to God. Why? Because He loves us. He loves us. I don't know if you remember, there were some athletes a few years ago. One of them decided, a Christian, he well known as a Christian, he decided to try cocaine. Remember who that was, Aaron? One of them just out and out overdosed and died. Who was that? That's who it was, yeah. And then there was a girl athlete that ended up jumping off a bridge under the influence of something like that or something. You see, those things, that you know, other people seem to get by, but Christians get caught. Why? Because I don't want to be far away. You know, it's always possible to get so far away you don't hear. The prodigal son got so far away he couldn't hear for a while. Didn't he? He got so far away he couldn't hear for a while. But you know what? When things got too rough, he remembered where he came from. He remembered the Word of God. He remembered his Father. He said, you shall meditate therein day and night. And I like to say it this way. It says, that thou, but I say, and then you can observe to do it. Sometimes people are trying to do things in the Word of God that they haven't meditated day and night. Sometimes they're trying to do things that they haven't gotten themselves ready to do. They're not prepared yet. Meditate day and night that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. Most people say, meditate day and night that we may observe to do according to all that the denomination that we belong to demands. Is that what it says? No. All that's written therein. What is written in the Word of God? There's a lot more than I've discovered yet. How many of you doing it all? No, but I want to. I'm not doing it all, but I want to do it. And not only do I want to do it, but I want to do it in the spirit in which it was written. Come on. Amen? That's the way I want to do it. That's what we want to do. So the Scripture says that we go ahead and we meditate on it day and night so that we can do it, and then we can make our way prosperous. It didn't say read the book about how to make your way prosperous. It didn't say to read about what rich dad, poor dad, make your way prosperous. Didn't say that's the way you're going to be prosperous. It didn't tell us about how to invest our money. It just says, listen to God, meditate on His Word day and night, and you can observe to do what He says, and then your way will be prosperous and you'll have good success. In Colossians 3:16, talking about being filled with the knowledge of God and how it occurs. Colossians 3:16 says, let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly. In all wisdom, teaching, and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. Let's paraphrase it a little bit. Let the Word of Messiah. Which word is the Word of Messiah? Where is that book, the Words of Messiah? Oh, it's all of it? Do you believe that? You know, it's amazing how some people have decided the words of Christ are the red words in the New Testament. Did you know that's not the words of Christ? That's just words that He spoke out specifically. But what word is His word? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. Without Him was not anything made that was made. Amen? He's the Word that said, light be light. And light came. That's the Word. Let the Word of Christ. Who is the subject of that sentence? Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. What is the subject? You. You. See, that's one of those inferred, understood subjects. The pronoun you, even though it doesn't say you do it there, that's what we understand at any time a command's given, that's speaking to me. You, let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly. Let, allow. How many of you would be honest enough with me to say that I'm not real good about letting the Word of Christ dwell in me richly? What do we let dwell in us richly? Whole lot of other stuff. Whole lot of junk. But you know what we know that's really nice here? We know that God's got a way for you to let it happen. We can let the Word of the Messiah. What does Messiah mean? What does Christ mean? You need to think about this. This is part of meditating. When I'm letting the Word of the Messiah dwell in me, what am I letting happen? I'm letting the Word of the Anointed One. When you speak of Christ, when you speak of Messiah, you're speaking of the Anointed One. Furthermore, you're speaking of His anointing. The Anointed One and His anointing. So you need to let that happen. You need to allow it to happen. That's kind of like putting your glass under the faucet. You need to allow it to happen. But then you need to let it happen richly. Say richly.
Richly.
That means in abundance. We need to do it a lot. How do you do it? It says, do it in all wisdom. Then it tells us how. Teaching and admonishing one another. What are you doing? Talking about the Word. Teaching and admonishing one another. But you know what people haven't realized? Is that it's talking about a music ministry. Each one of us having a music ministry. Teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Teach you in a psalm. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. That teaches you that something in a psalm, doesn't it?
Yes.
How would you teach somebody in a hymn? By the way, we don't know the hymns that they had, but we do know the psalms they had. Would teach if you said, "A mighty fortress is our God, a bulwark never failing. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name." That's teaching, isn't it? And you can do that with music. When we get together and we have meetings together, we admonish one another. We teach one another in psalms and hymns, in spiritual songs. Jonathan was singing a spiritual song today. Sometimes we sing out in tongues. And you'll sing out a little bit in tongues, and then the Lord will give you a little interpretation of the tongue. And you sing that out. What are you doing? You're admonishing one another to stay in the Word. You know, the funny thing is, we do this when we're in church. But it doesn't say to just do it in church. We should be doing it at home. Yes. Right? When we're riding in the car, be doing that. Speaking about the Word. Talking about the Word. Well, I got other things to talk about. More important than the Word? No, you don't. There's time for everything, but you know, you need to do it. It says, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. In verse 10 of our text, Colossians 1:10, the Bible says that you may walk worthy. This is the title of today's message, walking worthy of the Lord. Walking worthy of the Lord. Does anybody know what the Jewish people call the walk? They have a whole thing that's written out about the walk. Anybody know what it's called? Halakha. Halakha. The halakha is the walk. Now, there's a lot of traditional stuff in the halakha. But we know that there is a way to walk according to the Lord. First of all, we know He leads us in the paths of righteousness. He leads us. That's a walk, isn't it? He leads us in the paths of righteousness. He guides us into all truth. He shows us things to come. That's all going on with the working of the Word and the Spirit working in us. That you may walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. What does that mean? Walking worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. What I'm trying to get you to see is that sometimes we read these things, we just read them lightly. And we don't really think of what Paul's really praying for us, what God really wants through Paul's prayer. That we would walk worthy of Him when? Always. At all times, in every way. What would that look like?
Meditating on His Word day and night.
It would look like this then, wouldn't it? St. Francis of Assisi. Birds landing on my shoulder. I'm just walking worthy of the Lord. Is that what it would look like? Probably not. And yet that's what religious folk think we should look like, right? You would be meditating. You might be doing it like this, though. You might be doing a day's work, right? You might be driving the car, walking worthy of the Lord, driving the car, driving along. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Get out of my way, you idiot! Right? You ever done that? Catch yourself doing that? Be praying along, praying in the Spirit, and all of a sudden, honking your horn. Is that all pleasing? Is that all pleasing? No, that's right. That's flesh. That's the flesh. Well, this prayer is entering into this thing, and it's going into a dynamic lifestyle where you're walking worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. You know, that might look like this. You walk into a place of business to do some transaction. And while you're standing there, the Lord says, "This person is having a problem. This person needs a word from you today. This person needs something." So you just stop and let the Lord speak through you and speak out. That's what Jesus would have done, wouldn't it? He goes to get a drink of water. Listen, Jesus goes to get a drink of water, and a woman comes up. And the woman apparently had some morals problems, right? And she comes up to Him. Jesus says, "Could you get me some water?" She said, "What? You a Jew talking to me, a Samaritan?" He said, "If you knew who was talking to you, you would ask Him, and He'd give you water so that you'd never thirst again." Oh, sir, please give me that water. But what happened? Through that little time of just getting a drink of water, what happened? What was the result of that? We'll never know till eternity what the full result of it was, but we know the woman got saved. We know that she went back and told the people in the town. We know that the town came out to him. Think about it. What would happen if we walked like that? Walking unto the Lord in all pleasing. See, I think we're selling ourselves short. We're thinking that was Jesus. Jesus did things like that. No, you do things like that too. You do things like that in the grocery store. Kind words, smiles. Who knows? We stop and lay hands on people when we're out sometimes. But you know what? I realize we don't do it all that often, but we could. You know what? Jesus didn't heal all the people he saw, but all that came to him he healed. Jesus didn't raise all the dead, but the ones that the Father told him to raise, he raised. That's all we're saying. Let's get ourselves into this kind of a walk where we come to the place where we walk according to pleasing of God. What does it take to please God? Faith. That's the only thing that I can think of where it says, without faith, you cannot please God. You have to have betach. You have to believe. You have to have emunah. You have to be steady and trust. Unto all pleasing, I'm walking. And that's how I want to please Him. I want to be a faith-filled person. Another thing we know about it is that we are going to be held accountable. Matthew 25:21, His Lord said unto him, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I'll make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord." What was he faithful in? What? Many things. What were they? We know from the story what he was faithful in. What was he faithful in? 5 talents. He had 5 talents. Also a fellow with 2 talents. Same words were spoken to him. Why? Because he had 5 talents and took care of it well, right? What did he do? He was fruitful. Say fruitful.
Fruitful.
He was fruitful. Is that part of our call, to be fruitful? Does anybody recall what the Lord says they do to the branch that isn't fruitful? Lop it off, whack it off. And burn it in the fire. Are we supposed to be fruitful? Yes. Verse 10 says we're supposed to be fruitful. Another part of it. Be fruitful in every good work. Fruitful. Fruitful. I was going to have Henrietta tell you this verse in Hebrew. She didn't know. I didn't know she was going to be here today. Or I'd have insisted. How does it start? Verse 3, Psalm
1:3.
He should be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. That's what we're supposed to be. What does it take to get to that place where you're like a tree that's planted by the rivers of water that brings forth fruit in its season? Well, to be that way, we know that according to Scripture, it's Ashrei Ha'ish Asher Lo Halak Ba'atzat Resha'im. Don't walk in the counsel of the ungodly. Don't stand in the way of sinners. Don't sit in the seat of the scornful. But delight yourself. Say delight. We're talking about delightful prayer. Delight yourself in the Torah. You know, when you have a delight in God's Word, it's just fun to speak about it. It's fun to talk about the Word. I can honestly say I'd rather preach and teach than eat. Now, I know when I'm sitting down at the table, you can't tell that. But right now, I'm telling you. You know, I love to teach the Word. I love the Word of God. The Word is wonderful. You delight yourself in the law of the Lord. And in His law, Uvatorato Yage Yomam Valaila. We say that because we love that Yo mom Valila. Yo mom Valila. That means day and night we meditate in the Word of God. And we're like a tree. We're like a tree that's planted by the rivers of water. Our leaf doesn't wither. We bring forth fruit. Say fruit.
Fruit.
We bring forth fruit in its season. That means that you won't always see the fruit coming, but you're going to always be looking forward to it. Fruit's coming. Say it. Fruit's coming.
Fruit's coming.
Harvest time. Fruit's coming. Praise God. Hallelujah. He brings forth his fruit in his season, his leaf doesn't wither, and whatsoever he does shall prosper. Again in verse 10, talking about it. The Bible says in Proverbs 11:30, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. And here we get down to it. And he that what? And he that does what? You know, don't ever forget that fruitfulness is winning souls. Fruitfulness is not believing God for all of your needs to be met. That's not fruitfulness. Fruitfulness is believing God for all of your needs to be met so that you can give generously to every good work. Right? Did you ever know what God's grace is? We know the grace about prosperity and things like that. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ is that though he was rich, yet for our sake, he became poor that we through his poverty might be rich. And the scripture goes on to say, not in the same chapter, but it says, and he makes that grace abound toward us. That grace is the grace that Yeshua was rich and became poor so that we could be rich, and he makes it abound toward us. So that we always, say always.
Always.
Always. Do you always? Say, I always.
Always
having all sufficiency. In all things I abound to every good work. How much does it take to abound to every good work? Enough. Takes enough. Takes all sufficiency. Enough. It takes a lot. You know, but what? Here's the natural man now. The natural man says what? That would take 2 weeks' wages. That's not the God man. The God man says, give ye them to eat. Isn't that right? The God man, Yeshua, says, give you them to eat. You give it to them to eat. Well, that'd take 2 weeks' wages, the natural man says. No, no, give them to eat because you're fruitful in all your ways. And you always have all sufficiency in all things. But Lord, we only have 5 loaves and 2 little fishes. That's enough. That's enough. You always have all sufficiency in all things. You get it? How much does it take with God? Just give it to him. What's in your hand? Give it to him. Moses, what's in your hand? Well, that's a rod, Lord. Give it to me. Right? Always. Always have all sufficiency. Bible says to let our light shine. Let your light shine before men so that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Suppose people would glorify God when they see Zach Peterson walking around? Amen. I believe they're going to glorify God for that. I believe people are going to glorify God when you go up and you help them. You meet needs, maybe physical needs. Maybe they need bread. They're going to glorify God. You tell them this is from God. This is from the Lord. He told me to give this to you. They'll see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. It says we're supposed to be increasing in the knowledge of God. Well, now wait a second. It said up here that we're supposed to be filled in verse 9. We're going to be filled with the knowledge of His will. But we're supposed to be increasing in the knowledge of God. Well, the knowledge of His will is our halakha. How we're supposed to walk. But you know, that's not all there is to know about God, is there? How much is there to know about God? Anybody got to offer a possibility? What we could... Oh, both the height and the depth and the width and the breadth. Eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. But He has revealed them unto us by His Spirit. Can we increase in the knowledge of God? Yes. Do we increase in the knowledge of one another? If you want a successful marriage, you better. Isn't that right?
Yeah.
Bill says, "Oh, I know Juanita. She's the one that cooks and sews and keeps my clothes clean." You say, "Oh, I know Bill. He's the guy that does the yard work." And no, that's not enough. We got to know more than that, don't we? If we only know that about each other, see, that's the way people are about God. Well, God gives me this. Well, God does that. Well, this is God's blessing to me. But that isn't knowing God, is it? That knows something about His character. But, you know, to know Him is to love Him. To know Him, to know what He's like, and to enter into that presence and just to feel Him pick you up in His arms and enfold you. Reach up and stroke His face. Say, "I love you, Abba." Oh, yeah. That's Daddy. "I love you, Daddy. I love you." That's getting to know Him. That's what's talking about. The Bible says a wise man will hear and increase learning. And a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels in Proverbs 1:5. Proverbs 9:9. How does that read? Proverbs 9:9. Give instruction to a wise man and he will be yet wiser. Teach a just man and he will increase in learning. It's possible to learn and keep increasing, isn't it? Do you ever get to feeling like, "Well, I pretty well know everything"? Neither do I. Why do you suppose that is? Because there's so much to know. I don't feel like I know it all. I know I need to increase in learning. I realize that all the time. It says we're supposed to be strengthened with all might. That's verse 11. Colossians 1:11. Says, strengthened with all might according to His glorious power unto all patience and long-suffering and with joyfulness. Strengthened with all might. That's an interesting thing in the Greek, you know, how that comes out. Strengthened with all might. That's the same word used twice, one of them strengthened. What is strengthened? I don't know what part of speech that is. My English is failing me here. Strengthened, but the word is dunamuo, which is strengthened. And with all might is dunamis. Dunamuo with all dunamis. And what's it talking about? It's talking about tremendous power. Paul's praying that the people that he's praying for will be filled with tremendous power. Tremendous power. Might is the way the King James puts it. Strengthened with tremendous power and might. One of the things that we looked at in the Revelation knowledge message was the Ephesians 1:19. And this is a prayer that he says, "You might know what is the exceeding greatness of His power." It's His great, great power, but you got to read on. To usward. His power to usward. Toward us who believe. According to the working of His mighty power. What kind of mighty power? What kind of things do you think of with mighty power? What do you think? What's mighty power?
Creation
power.
Parting water.
Healing.
Raising from the dead.
The mighty power. Did you know that the power of God is, just think of this. An atomic bomb is just a particle of God's great power. I mean, isn't that right? Isn't nuclear fission something that He controls? And so that's just one little tiny thing. Earthquakes, volcanoes. We see these great things, these things of tremendous splendor, and we say, "Wow, that's powerful." The waves of the sea. Do you realize how much power is there? And yet, those are just things that God has at His disposal. In Ephesians 3:20, We read this part of this prayer. This is also part of another prayer. It says, now unto him that is able to do exceeding, say exceeding. Exceeding abundantly above all. Oh, I love that. Exceeding abundantly above all. Man, that's getting you into superlatives, isn't it? Exceeding abundantly above all. And now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. That's the power of God. You want to know the greatest miracle of that? Is the next few words. According to his power working in us. How much power is in you? You know, the key is that it's resurrection power that's in us. It is. That's probably the greatest power in the world, is the resurrection power. Because the scripture says that I'm trying to think just how the scripture starts so I don't get right in the middle of it. If the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwell in you, then that same spirit that raised Christ from the dead will quicken your mortal bodies. That's your mortal bodies. Is that talking just about resurrection? No, it's talking about right now. Making life. The same power what he wrought in Jesus when he raised him from the dead. That's the power we're talking about. That's what goes on from 3:20. Now unto him that's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. That same power which he wrought in Jesus when he raised him from the dead. That's the power that's in you. Strengthened with all might. What's the next words in that verse, verse 12, or in that portion of Scripture? After we're strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father. Boy, wouldn't that be what you ought to be doing right about now? Do you realize that now is a great time to give thanks? I mean, think of what we've discovered here this morning. Think of what we've put together in one little concise on one plate. Because you know this is likened unto food, isn't it? Spiritual food. Think what we've had in this meal today. Think of the things that have been talked about. Giving thanks unto the Father. Giving thanks unto Him. Giving thanks unto the Father, who hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Did you know you're supposed to give thanks in everything? Say in.
Everything.
There was a book written a while back that said we're supposed to give thanks for everything. Do you believe that? No. Well, I want to tell you something. You can give thanks in everything, but to give thanks for everything would be giving credit where credit's not due, wouldn't it? You give thanks to the Father for all things that He's done, but you don't give thanks for things. Well, a lady called me one time. It's been a long time ago, but she says, how can I thank God that my husband's an alcoholic? I said, I don't believe you're supposed to. Did God make him an alcoholic? No. Well, then why thank God for doing that? God didn't do it. No. But you know, there are people that get everything just a little bit out of whack. And they decided that if you give thanks, even when you're giving thanks for something that's bad. No, don't give thanks for what's bad. Give thanks to the Father in all things. You continue to give thanks to Him. The Bible says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. We're giving thanks to Him because He's made us partakers. You are a partaker. Now, we go clear back to Exodus 25:22. He says, I'll meet with you there beneath the wings of the cherubim, and I'll commune with you. I will speak with you. I will partake with you. Behold, I stand at the door and knock, he says. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and sup with him and he with me. Have you ever thought about that kind of relationship with God? Just like we're having a meal together, getting together, and feasting together. Feasting on His Word, feasting on what He says, feasting on His presence, feasting on knowing Him, whom to know aright is life eternal. That's what we get to do. Partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. This is the last Last scripture we're going to go through is 3 and 4 of this verse. 2 Peter 1. According as His divine power, say this with me, according as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. What are you supposed to thank God for? All things that pertain unto life and godliness. How do you get it? Through the knowledge. I want you to be filled with the knowledge of Him. Amen? Filled with His knowledge. The knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue. Verse 4 says, whereby? Whereby what? Say it with me. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Do you see a walk that's pleasing unto Him in every way? Do you see fruitfulness in all of this? Yes. This is what God's calling us unto. Not just a religious walk. Not just a walk that goes from week to week doing the same little religious things that we do. Religion's a trap. Don't get into religion. Don't get into something like that. That's a bondage. We want to be serving the God who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. According to His power, exceeding great power, exceeding great and precious promises. Amen? Hallelujah. Praise God. You know, the Word of God should just thrill you. I say it should just thrill you. It ought to be better than one of those defibrillators that they have around everywhere nowadays. You get a little bit of the Word, it ought to just shake you to life, you know? That's right. Praise God. Let's stand up. Hallelujah. So this prayer of the Holy Spirit is that we would walk worthy of the Lord. I'm going to read it to you one more time. For this cause, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing and increasing in the knowledge of God, being fruitful in every good work, strengthened with all might according to His glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance in the saints in light. Father, we ask You once again, just pour into us now. Fill us with the knowledge of Your will. Fill us up, Lord God, with the fullness of the things of God. Fill us up with the fullness of God, we pray. We thank You, Lord, that You're guiding and directing us today into all truth, that You're showing us the things that are going to come on this earth and the things that we need to do to prepare ourselves to be ready at all times. Most of all, Lord, we're asking You to help us to be a fruitful people. So we're going to set ourselves in agreement today that we're going to meditate on the Word of God. We're going to keep Your Word in the midst of us. We're going to keep it in our hearts. We're going to keep it in our minds. We're going to talk about the Word. Wherever we go, we're going to talk about the Word. And we thank You, Father, and we praise You, Lord, that You're going to cause us to be fruitfulness, that we will be those that win souls. We'll be those You call wise. We're going to bring forth increase in the earth, and we thank You for it. In the name of Yeshua. Everyone said, amen. Amen. Lift your hands up to the Lord and receive a blessing. Now may Yahweh bless you and keep you. May Yahweh make His face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May Yahweh lift up the light of His countenance on you and give you shalom.